VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, in Hebrews chapter 11, we have this great hall of faith, this chapter here that we're reminded of the great faith of many. We see names like Abel and Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Rahab, and others. But often neglected as we review this chapter are those who were mentioned that were martyred for their faith. I mean, we learn in verse 37 of those who were stoned, some who were cut in half, they were sawn asunder, some that were slain with the sword, and others that were experiencing great persecution. I mean, being mocked and beatings that they had to endure, imprisonment, people that were kicked out of their home areas and wandering about. I mean, this is a foreign concept to us who live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Yet daily, ladies and gentlemen, there are people who are laying down their lives for the cause of Christ. The Day of the Christian Martyr is June 29th, and here to discuss it with us today, we welcome back Todd Nettleton, the Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration for Voice of the Martyrs. He's host of the Voice of the Martyrs Radio and author of When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. Todd, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
You are so welcome, Jim. It's good to be with you.
How is it determined to make June 29th the Day of the Christian Martyr?
Well, according to church history, that is traditionally the day when the execution of Paul happened outside the city of Rome. And so it seemed like, if you're going to talk about people who laid down their lives for Christ, certainly a good one to start with is the Apostle Paul. And so June 29th was the date that we selected and said, hey, you know, we have the International Day of Prayer for Persecuted Christians in November. That's when we pray for Christians who are still fighting the good fight, are still facing persecution. But what if we had a day where we really looked at the example of those who paid that ultimate price and lost their lives for the sake of Christ and for the sake of advancing His kingdom? That's how the Day of the Christian Martyr came into be, and that's why it's June 29th.
Okay, well, and we well familiar with the verses. I fought a good fight, finished my course, kept the faith, and talked about that crown of righteousness that was laid up, and he was ready to be offered, lay out his life as a drink offering before God. But, Todd, sometimes we falsely believe that as long as I'm a child of God, that God is obligated to keep me from harm's way. Could you burst our bubble on this false narrative?
I can certainly burst your bubble, but I think the book of Acts would also burst it. As you know, Jesus said, the world hates me, and if you follow me, the world will hate you too. So the idea that somehow following Christ is going to make us popular or make us safe is completely contradictory to exactly what he promised. I mean, he said the world will hate you. But the other thing he said, though, is you don't have to worry about that because I have overcome the world. And so even in times of suffering, even when the world is against us, we have that promise that Christ has already overcome the world.
You have been sounding the alarm for many, many years about those who are suffering on account of their faith. Do you believe the people of America have come to the point where they fully grasp what believers are going through around the world and what they're facing?
You know, I don't think I would say that we fully grasp it, but we certainly have a much more accurate picture than we did when I started at Voice of the Martyrs 23 years ago. I think more Americans are aware of what's happening overseas, and I also think as American Christians and as we have watched our own culture change over the last 20 years, it doesn't seem quite as far off as maybe it did 23 years ago to think about, oh, wait a minute, I might have to pay a price for following Christ. This yeah. might cost me something. I think for American Christians who kind of have their eyes open on our culture, that's not such a far-fetched idea as maybe it was a generation ago.
As you know, we're getting numbers every day on how many have died from COVID or how many are dying because of gunshot wounds, but I have yet to hear a national newscast give us a daily deaths on those who are martyred for their faith. Can you reveal such numbers to us?
You know, there are numbers that are out there. Voice of the Martyrs doesn't really tie ourselves to any of them. Anybody who says an answer to that question, at best, it is an educated guess. When you think about countries like North Korea, when you think about China, when you think about Eritrea, it is not, these countries are not, you know, providing an annual report of here's how many Christians were executed this year, mm-hmm. or here's how many Christians died in police custody after being beaten this year. So it is very hard to say a specific number, but there are hundreds in prison. There are hundreds laying down their lives for the cause of Christ, and they are our family members. These are our brothers and sisters that this is happening to.
Todd Nettleton with us today from Voice of the Martyrs. Our topic today, counting the cost, the day of the Christian martyr. And Todd, this year, you were informing the world of a woman that was martyred by Marxist guerrillas in Colombia. Her name is Rocio Pino. Tell us about her.
Rocio Pino was a Christian woman in an area of Colombia that is controlled by the Marxist FARC guerrillas. She actually was a witness for Christ in that area. Her and her husband made the decision to stay. They knew it was risky. They knew there were threats against them, but they made the decision to stay and continue ministry in that area. She shared Christ with a young lady who was part of the FARC guerrilla. So a young female FARC guerrilla, Rocio Pino, shared Christ with her, had the opportunity to pray with her. Just 2 weeks after that, a knock came on their door late at night. The men at the door said, our motorcycle has broken down. Could you come and help us? Rocio's husband went out the door to help them. One of the guerrillas stayed there by the door, asked her who she was, and then shot her dead. She died, bled to death right there on her doorstep. The area was so dangerous because of the control of the FARC that no ambulance would come, no healthcare workers would come and help her, and so she bled to death right there. But it's specifically important that he knew who he was shooting. This was the woman who had shared Christ with one of his comrades, and the FARC knows when young people choose to follow Jesus Christ, they are harder to recruit into the Marxist movement. And so they consider people like Rocio Pino a direct threat to the work that they're doing. That's why she was killed for her faith in Christ. And that's why we're telling her story. Remember, this was not an accident. She specifically went to a FARC-controlled area. Her and her husband made the decision to stay in that area, even after the threats were very real. She intentionally laid down her life for Christ. In fact, one of the things that Rocio was well known among the Christian community there for saying is, listen, anybody who comes here, anybody who comes to my house, they are going to hear the gospel. So she was very intentional about laying down her life for Christ. And what an amazing example to help me, to help you, to help our listeners think about, hey, Rocio Pino was willing to lay down her life to see her neighbors won to Christ, to see the FARC guerrillas won to Christ. What am I willing to sacrifice to see my city, to see the gospel advance in my neighborhood, in my city, in my state, in the world? What would I sacrifice? That's why we hold up the example of Rocio Pino, is to challenge each of us to think about how committed are we to advancing the kingdom in our sphere of influence.
You know, what a tremendous inspiration. And folks, again, she had that commitment. All who come here, all that came to her house, they're going to hear about Christ. How often we will disguise, you know, going to church somehow, you're not carrying our Bibles or whatever it may be to somehow disguise this. But she was committed. All who come here will hear about Christ. This really, Todd, ought to be an inspiration for believers around the world.
You know, it certainly should be, and we hope that it will be on this day of the Christian Martyr.
You actually have a short video about the Day of the Christian Martyr and her story on your website. Share with our listeners how they can see this.
We do. Persecution.com is the Voice of the Martyrs website, persecution.com, and one of the top banners is Day of the Christian Martyr, and as you said, there's a short video. It's about 4 minutes long. You know, this is great for churches. It's great for maybe Bible study groups, but it's also great for parents to share with their children and just talk about it around the dinner table. Talk about What does it mean to make a sacrifice for Christ? How much is it worth to us, to our family, to see the kingdom of God advance? What a great conversation for parents to have with their children, for grandparents to have with their grandchildren, as we sort of look at the example of Rocio Pino and draw on the inspiration that her life offers each of us.
Again, persecution.com, and you'll see the button there for Day of the Christian Martyr, and you click on that, you'll hear her story, you'll see the reenactment of that as well, and certainly should behoove us, folks, to be serious about our faith, and then the commitment from Rocio to have that very commitment to all who come here will hear about Christ. Todd, let's talk about what's happening around the world. I mean, we just saw a new president come into power in Iran. This new president does not bode well for those who named the name of Christ. Tell us, just comment if you would on Iran itself.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They call it a presidential election, as if any Iranian citizen would have an opportunity to run for president. That is not how it works. Each of the candidates has to be approved by the mullahs, by the people who hold the real power in Iran. And so any one of the presidential candidates wouldn't have been a great change from what we have seen in Iran. But the one that won, Ibrahim Raisi, the new president, formerly the head of the judiciary, every commentator that I've seen, from Christians in Iran to secular human rights people about who watch Iran, they have all said this is the worst possible choice. This, as the head of the judiciary, he has resided over human rights violation after human rights violation. He, in one case, the writer said his hands are soaked in blood because he has seen so many people put to death in Iran as they have quashed any kind of rebellion, any kind of rising up of the people to try to have a say in how their country is run. So that doesn't bode well for any human rights. And as you think about human rights in Iran, one of the things we always think about is the church, is the Christians there. The fastest growing church in the world is in the Islamic Republic of Iran.
How do you account for that?
It is one of the great questions, and I have had Iranian Christians point to Ayatollah Khomeini, the head of the Islamic Revolution, and say he was the greatest Christian missionary in the history of Iran. And you say, wait a minute, he wasn't even a Christian. How could he be the greatest missionary? And they say, listen, the Iranian Revolution, the Islamic Revolution, has showed the true face of Islam to the people of Iran, and they want something else. They've had 40 years of doing things the Muslim way, doing things according to the Quran, and it hasn't worked. The country is corrupt. The government is corrupt. The drug addiction rate is one of the highest in the world. And so the people look at that and say, if this is what 40 years of doing things the Islamic way has brought us, what other ways are there? What other ways could we do things? And so the gospel is finding fertile soil in Iranian hearts because they have seen the true face of Islam, and they've seen that because of the Islamic Revolution, because the country is run by the mullahs.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break. With us today, Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, Counting the Cost, the Day of the Christian Martyr, our topic today on the broadcast. And folks, it's amazing. I mean, the Iran, the fastest growing church in the world, and the persecution that's been unfolding there. We'll have some further comments on that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution ever go backwards or reverse itself?
Chris, I don't think evolution occurs at all. God created each basic category of life. They may have varied, but this is not evolution. For evolution, you have to have new genes, new traits, new body parts, not just variety of the old. Sometimes evolutionists claim that evolution reverses itself and goes backwards. For instance, some are now claiming that the chimps, which are basically tree dwellers, descended from a missing link which walked upright, therefore backwards evolution. Chris, I think this is just as wrong as evolution in general is wrong. The evidence supports the biblical truth that man and apes are separate. There's variety among both, but they did not have a common ancestor. And that's just what we read when we go back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
June 29th is the Day of the Christian Martyr. You'll find information on their website, persecution.com, and just click on the little tab there for the Day of the Christian Martyr. You'll find more information, including the story there of Rocío Pino and a remarkable story there, the inspiration for this year's remembrance, Day of the Christian Martyr. Check it out. Again, that's persecution.com. But we're talking about Iran right now. Todd Nettleton is with us from Voice of the Martyrs. And Todd, we were talking about this Christianity growing amidst this persecution. And sometimes, you know, we have, just to learn from this, we have people in America that are shying away from their faith for fear that persecution might come. But that's been the greatest growth for Christianity to take place, is when persecution actually happens.
You know, as you look around the world and you see the places where the church is growing the fastest, it is almost universally countries where there is intense persecution. Right. And it's one of the great mysteries, I think, is you will see, I think of people I have met in Southeast Asia who were persecuted literally days or weeks after they came to faith in Christ. So these are not like, you know, seminary graduates who have prepared for years to face persecution. They are brand new baby Christians, but they have seen the truth of the gospel. They have understood the reality of Christ's presence with them. And even at that young, you know, age as Christians, they are willing to stand up and say, no, I am not going to walk away from my faith. I don't care what you do to me. This is real. Jesus is real. You cannot get Jesus out of my heart.
You've got an interesting story about a police chief in Iran. Tell us about it.
You know, we often say the Lord works in mysterious ways. This is one of those stories we heard from one of our contacts inside Iran who was distributing New Testaments, and he was driving one day. He had two boxes of New Testaments in the trunk of his car, and he saw a police checkpoint up ahead, and he knew, you know, if they select me, if they pull me over and they go through my car, I'm going to have a hard time explaining these two boxes of New Testament. So what he did is he pulled off to the side of the road, and he just set the two boxes out by the side of the road, and then he drove on through the checkpoint and went. He just thought, Lord, you know, I'm not going to risk it. I'm just going to leave these here. Well, later that night, the chief, the police chief who oversaw that checkpoint, saw the two boxes sitting there, and he knew what had happened. He knew somebody had some contraband they didn't want to get caught with. And in his mind, he was thinking, you know, hey, it might be drugs. It might be something that I can sell for a profit. So he got those two boxes and put them in the trunk of his car and took them home and then looked inside and said, well, it's not drugs. I'm going to have a tough time selling these. But he did decide to use them as gifts. It was coming up to the time of the Persian New Year. It is traditional in that part of the world during Persian New Year, you give gifts to your family, you give gifts to your friends, and he decided, well, hey, I have these boxes of books. That's what I'm going to give away as my Persian New Year gift this year. Right. The way we know this story, there was a lady who received the gift from him. She called the phone number inside and said, you know, hey, I'd like to know more information. I've been reading this book. They said, well, where did you get the book? And she said, the police chief, my friend, he gave it to me as a gift for Persian New Year. And our friends who are working in Iran said, oh, okay, now we understand what happened to those two boxes of the New Testament because he used them as gifts. So, like I say, the Lord works in mysterious ways, yeah. And he can certainly get his word out, even in a very closed country like Iran.
It's amazing. I mean, he's made a donkey to talk, and now we have a police chief that is giving out New Testaments, giving out Bibles. Just really amazing. Let's talk about Mozambique. I understand one of your coworkers recently visited there.
Mozambique, what is happening in northern Mozambique right now is probably one of the most underreported stories in the world. There is a radical Islamist group there. They have officially and loudly pledged allegiance to ISIS. So that tells you their philosophy. That tells you their background. they are taking territory in northern Mozambique. They are controlling that territory, trying to set up an Islamic caliphate. As you mentioned, my coworker was just there in northern Mozambique. There are 800,000 displaced persons because of this Islamist insurgency. Mm. And he met with pastors who were in the part of the country that is now controlled by this Islamist group. He heard story after story of just horrific suffering, including pastors being crucified, including Christians being beheaded. One of the pastors shared that when the Islamist group came into their village, they invited everyone, and I put invited kind of in quotes, they invited everyone out. They said, hey, we just want to meet with everyone. We want to kind of tell you what's going on. Instead, they started to ask each person, are you a Christian or a Muslim? The Christians were killed instantly. The Muslims were told, hey, okay, now quote a verse from the Quran. Now quote another verse. If you couldn't quote enough verses of the Quran to convince them that you were a devout Muslim, you would also be killed. So both Christians and Muslims who didn't seem devout enough were killed by this Islamist group. As I mentioned, 800,000 people displaced. One of the pastors that my coworker met talked about finding the body of his 5-year-old son that had been murdered in these attacks. One of the other pastors said when his family fled from their village, they got separated. And he still didn't know what had happened to his wife. He didn't know if she was alive or dead. He didn't know where she was. And so that's the kind of suffering that is happening. But here's really, the amazing part of this story. Those pastors, who some of them had lost their own family members, they were still doing ministry in that area. They were helping to distribute food to some of the displaced people. And at every food distribution, they would have the people sit down and they would preach the gospel to them before they distributed food. My coworker said the thing they wanted more than anything else was audio Bibles. That's one of the ways that Voice of the Martyrs is helping, is delivering audio Bibles. And he said even before they asked for food, they wanted God's word because they understood that, hey, our physical food is going to run out. We're going to get hungry again. But our spiritual food is what we really need to stand up to this kind of suffering and stand up to this kind of persecution. But I would encourage our listeners, please pray for the nation of Mozambique. Pray for the Christians, particularly in that northern part of the country, because this is a horrific story. It is ongoing. It's still happening right now. And it doesn't seem like the world is paying attention. It doesn't seem like the Mozambican government has the wherewithal and the will to push back against this Islamist group. And so the Christians there are just left displaced. They're left suffering. And like I say, so many have been killed.
You know, I wondered as you're talking there, Todd, if we had been drilled to prove that we're a Christian, would we have enough scripture in our mind to convince them that we are born-again believers in Christ?
It's a challenging thought, isn't it? And I think, you know, one of the things that I have learned from persecuted Christians over the years is that focus and that importance of the Scripture and just being people of God's Word, putting God's Word in our hearts where, you know, even if we go to prison, even if we get captured, the Word that we have hidden in our heart goes with us into prison, even if our physical Bible is taken from us. And that's, you know, I think that's one of the lessons that our brothers and sisters have to teach us.
Yeah. And yet we're not hearing about this violence on the news. I mean, you know, we'll hear about those who have, broken COVID restrictions and so forth. But to hear about the horrendous violence in Mozambique, the news is very wanting, lacking to be sharing that story with us. Let's move on to Pakistan as well. I know that there have been some horrendous blasphemy laws that are part of Pakistan, and understand a Christian couple finally won a many years long victory or an appeal that they had.
This is kind of a good news, bad news story. The good news is this Christian couple, which was convicted of blasphemy in 2014 and sentenced to death, they finally earlier this month were their appeal overturned the conviction. The appeals court said nope. They are not guilty, and cleared the way for them to be released. Now, they, as far as I know, they have not been released yet. When they are released, they won't necessarily be safe. They will probably have to flee from Pakistan. But we say, praise the Lord, that's good news that they were released. But as you look at the case, there was no reason that this couple should have spent 8 years in prison waiting for this release. The charges against them are that they sent so-called blasphemous text messages in English on a cell phone. Now, neither one of them speaks English. So the idea that this Christian couple was somehow sending blasphemous text messages in a language that they don't speak or understand is so far-fetched that it just seems like any prosecutor, any judge would have said, no, that doesn't even make sense. There's no way they did that. But this is an example of how the blasphemy laws work in Pakistan. And, the Pakistani government will point to this and say, look, see, the system worked. They were set free. And it's like, no, the system didn't work because they were separated from their children and spent 8 years in prison waiting for this day to come. How is that system working if innocent people are spending 8 years in prison? So it's one more example, and the most famous example is Asia Bibi, who spent more than 10 years in prison waiting for her release, was released last year, and now we have another couple, and again, 8 years in prison for doing something that they could not have done.
Todd, you had a radio guest that was a Pakistani Christian on your program, and he talked about persecution, comparing in Pakistan this persecution to the air. What is meant by that?
It was an interesting, and I've never heard this analogy before, but he said, as Christians in Pakistan, persecution is like the air around us. He said, you don't wake up in the morning and wonder, hey, is there going to be air today for me to breathe? Of course there's going to be air for you to breathe. And he said that's how it is for Christians in Pakistan. They don't wake up in the morning and say, hey, I wonder if there's going to be persecution today. He said we go out the door of our house knowing there's going to be persecution. We know that if we go to the restaurant, the Muslim waiter won't wait on us, or the Muslim owner doesn't want us to use the silverware because he thinks we'll corrupt it. We know when we go to a job interview that if the boss finds out that we're Christian, he's probably not going to hire us. And so that was his comparison. He said, persecution is just like the air around us. It's just something that we deal with every single day, to the point where we hardly think about it. It's not something that, like, we always notice or we're always thinking about it. It's just there. It's a part of our lives.
Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs, persecution.com, the website persecution.com. China has also been in the news. Todd, as you know, China has really been flexing its muscles on the world stage. And at the same time of their dominance, persecution has been intensifying there. Tell us about it.
It's exactly, I love that term, flexing their muscles, because that's exactly what they're doing against the church in China as well. The Communist Party wants to control you. They want to control the hearts and minds of the people. If you say, my first loyalty is to Jesus Christ, well, then by definition, your first loyalty is not to the Communist Party. And that's a problem for the communist leaders of China. They are arresting pastors. They are closing down churches. And it's not one province or one part of the country where this is happening. This is the policy of the national government. It is led by the President Xi Jinping himself, and it is happening all over China, including locking pastors in prison for long periods of time. I think of Pastor Wang Yi, who is serving a 9-year prison sentence right now in China. His guilt, and I talked recently on VOM Radio with a Chinese Christian, he said what Pastor Wang Yi did is he put Xi Jinping's name into John 3:16. For God so loved the world, for God so loved President Xi Jinping. That is what got him targeted for arrest and 9 years in prison.
My. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have a few more minutes here with Todd before we open some phone lines, so stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung desperately in the balance? From the French and Indian War, the Revolution, the Civil War, and other national events, leaders in our country called the nation to prayer. In the book, Miracles in American History, author Susie Federer, the wife of historian and researcher Bill Federer, recounts 32 amazing stories of answered prayer from American history.
You'll read about events such as the winter at Valley Forge, the Boston Tea Party, dense fog that appeared, allowing 8,000 troops to escape, the Star-Spangled Banner, and other events where prayer had an impact. You'll also learn when Apollo 13 was lost in space, what happened after the president called the nation to prayer. It's a reminder as to how badly prayer is needed for our nation today. Copies of Miracles in American History are available for a donation of $18 to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829, 1-800-729-9829.
Scripture reminds us of remembering those who are in bonds as being in bonds with them. And that is simply what we're seeking to do today, to cause us to count the cost. The Day of the Christian Martyr is June 29th. You can learn more information at persecution.com. Persecution.com. Click on the Day of the Christian Martyr. You'll find a very informative piece of information there. You'll see a video as well on Rocio Pino and hear her story and just the remarkable testimony that this is, that she had, that anybody who came to her door, there was going to be a witness there. It didn't matter that it was a Marxist guerrilla that came to her door. She was going to be a witness, a young guerrilla fighter. And certainly as her husband was taken away from the door by false pretense to go help somebody, yet it was a trap in order to kill her. You'll see that story there on their website, persecution.com. We were just talking about China, Todd, we know that there are many who believe that Hong Kong itself is immune to persecution. Is it?
You know, 5 years ago, I would have said, yeah, I feel like it is. It is, I think, impossible to say that today. You know, with even in the last couple of weeks, one of the main pro-democracy newspapers has been completely closed down. The publisher has been arrested. Some of the reporters have been arrested. A year ago, the government age or government members who were pro-democracy, many of them were kicked out of office or they were arrested. And I think you have to look at that, and you have to look at China and what we see happening on the mainland of China and say, how long? How long before churches in Hong Kong feel that pressure to be Communist Party focused first and Christ focused second? I think it is only a matter of time.
Well, friends, I trust that this program is causing us to really burden our hearts to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, brothers and sisters or family members, and to be praying for them. Todd, you have recently put forth a book, written a book, When Faith is Forbidden, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. Tell us about it.
This is 40 of the most impactful and inspiring stories that I've heard from persecuted Christians over my 23 years working at VOM, and I'm so excited to have it now actually in print. Moody Publishers published it earlier this year, and my goal is to take you on a journey with me. You know, one of the things that happens when I get back from a trip is somebody in my Sunday school class, somebody at my church will say, man, I would really like to go on a trip with you to meet some of those people you met. That's why I wrote the book, When Faith is Forbidden. It is really to invite everybody. Hey, let's go on a 40-day trip together. Let's sit down and drink tea and hear stories from our persecuted family members. Because I believe if you do that, if you spend 40 days hearing from persecuted Christians, on day 41, your faith is going to look a little different. You're going to be challenged by their stories. And one of the things I've tried to do in the book is really say, okay, wait, I'm an American Christian, and I am an American Christian. I'm not persecuted for my faith. So what does this mean to me? What do I need to learn from this person's story? And so I've tried to tell the story and then sort of pull on the string a little bit to draw out the truths that American Christians can use every day in our own lives right here in America.
And how is it our listeners can get it? I understand that you're making it available for donation.
It is available for a donation this month to Voice of the Martyrs. We mentioned our website earlier, persecution.com. It is right now, it's right at the top of the page. You can click there and give online. There's also a phone number there. You can call and give a donation. And any donation, we will send you a copy of When Faith is Forbidden as our way of saying thank you for your gift.
Okay, a donation of any amount, and check it out at persecution.com. Todd, is there also a phone number for those who do not have internet access?
There is a phone number, and I don't have it right in front of me, but I'll have it before we finish.
Sounds great. And again, folks, the website is persecution.com. I would like to open our phone lines here today. I've got more I'd like to ask Todd, but we want to give you opportunity to comment on that which you've heard today as well on the program. A question that you may have on this topic of Christian persecution. It's the Day of the Christian Martyr on June 29th. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. I'm wondering if the information you're hearing today, ladies and gentlemen, is impacting your life. If so, in what way? How is this information you're hearing today impacting you to consider what your brother is going through, what your sister is going through right now? Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. I'm guessing you found that phone number, Todd.
I did. I shouldn't have it memorized, but it is 1-800-747-0085. 1-800-747-0085. And just let them know you heard me on a radio interview and that you'd like a copy of When Faith is Forbidden when you make a donation.
Okay. Again, that's 800-747-0085. Todd Nettleton with us today from Voice of the Martyrs. And taking your phone calls here on Crosstalk, we're going to begin in Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my phone call. I was just going to make a comment that Revelation 19:10 talks about the testimony of Jesus. And Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony of Jesus, and they loved not their lives unto the death." And that's exactly what you're saying.
Todd?
We might die.
It is exactly what we're saying. And, you know, one of the things that I encourage people, especially American Christians, I think a lot of American Christians look at the society around us and say, wait a minute, this is probably going to happen to us someday. How do we get ready for that? And the thing that I point people to is number one, the scriptures, because obviously the Bible talks a lot about how to live as strangers and aliens in this world, as persecuted Christians. But the second thing I point them to is the testimonies of those who have already been persecuted. That's part of the reason I wrote this book. And like you say, we overcome evil through the word of our testimonies. And so why wouldn't we want to know and want to study the testimonies of those who have been persecuted and come out the other side, not as victims, but have come out the other side victorious in the midst of that?
Thank you, George. Let's go to Daniel next. Hi, Daniel. You're on the air.
Hi, sir. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good. I mean, I'd like to talk about the mixtures of culture from overseas and in the American culture as far as persecution. I think we tend to try to focus on a lot of things of overseas, and obviously we know the medias don't and aren't always top priority as far as showing how much persecution happens across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Even in my own faith here, and I am the Grand Chaplain for Guardians of the Grave, even in our walks through our own people and our own communities, we still face some type of persecution in that belief of Christ. But what I think we need to do as Christians is really start walking that Christ-like mentality, building faith that builds courage, and then that courage builds that perseverance, knowing that no matter what kind of persecution we face in this religious area, that we're strong enough to deal with it. As you've been talking about how some of these pastors and families have been facing times in prison for 8-10 years. I mean, even Jesus and himself went to sit in prisons and was still in that faith that God would always take care of them. And I think that some of the things that even in our Christian culture we kind of fell from was that we believe that God is enough. And it says even in the self that, you know, having enough faith, you can move mountains. God speaks to every nation in every tongue.
Yeah, well, Daniel, let me just say, I do believe that God is enough, but as we consider, as we consider like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who mm-hmm. were facing that persecution, we will not bow down to this image. God's going to deliver us, but if he does not, we're still not going to bow down to this image. So,
Well, and I think that's where we need to help our brothers and sisters mm-hmm. build that faith and that courage and to build that perseverance in and be Christ-like and be that proof of God's love. The more we show that, I think we set an example across the world, but we've also faced a lot of persecution because of some of the things that haven't gone right. And I think that's what we need to start doing is truly showing that proof of God's love, that we are Christ-like, that we live in his image through him.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate your call here today. Todd, your comment.
Well, you know, one of the things I think, and I think Daniel brings up this point, is we need to prepare ourselves, and part of the way we prepare ourselves is by deciding to prepare ourselves. You know, I think my grandparents' generation maybe thought, well, persecution will never happen in America. That will never happen here, and so we don't have to prepare ourselves because it's not going to be something we have to deal with. I think Christians who are watching today and have their eyes open say, hey, this might be something that we have to deal with, certainly something that our children and our grandchildren will have to deal with. We need to be prepared, and the first step of getting prepared is making that statement, hey, I need to prepare myself, and then praying, Lord, help me to be strong in my faith and withstand any challenge.
Thank you for the call here. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Israel, your next caller, go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling in regards to the persecution, and when I look at Revelations chapter 22, verse 11 through 10, 11, and 12, it says that, and he said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him remain unjust. He that is filthy, let him remain filthy. And he that is righteous, let him remain righteous. And he that is holy, let him remain holy. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work shall be. So my thing is, reading this particular verse, and I hear about the persecution there, is it possible that the time now is no longer where I know a lot of people want to go out and try to proselytize or get people to come into Christ, but from my understanding of what the scripture is saying right here, it's no more the time for this one here. It's time for everyone to basically take care of their own salvation, and whoever is not there saved at this point there, to leave them there.
Yeah, okay, thank you, Israel, for that. I don't believe you're interpreting that passage right, because we are seeing there's a harvest of souls that is happening around the world here, Todd, and certainly you can attest to that through Voice of the Martyrs as well.
We do. We see people coming to Christ all across the world, and the other passage that I think about is also in Revelation about every tribe and tongue and nation. We need to be about the Lord's work of reaching every tribe and every tongue and every nation, and bringing people from every group into salvation, into our spiritual family, the body of Christ.
Yeah. There's certainly a time of future judgment that is coming, Israel, in which there's nothing more that can be said or done, but we're not in that time. Thank you for the call, but certainly it behooves us to be salt and to be light, to be ambassadors. That's what Scripture says. We're told in Corinthians, now then ye are ambassadors for Christ. And as an ambassador, Todd, we've got a very important responsibility to carry out, just as we saw from Rocio Pino as well. I mean, she was an ambassador.
She was an ambassador, and you know, one of the things I always think about as an ambassador is the ambassador doesn't speak for themselves, they speak for the one who sent them. The U.S. Right. ambassador doesn't speak for himself, he speaks for the president. We're not called to be ambassadors of ourselves, we're called to be ambassadors for Christ, and so we are to speak what he tells us to speak and not speak from our own ideas or our own hearts.
Ralph, you're our next caller, but I'm going to have you hold just a moment longer because we're right up against a break and I don't want to have to cut you off in the middle. So we're going to take our break. We'll come right back here to Ralph in South Dakota. So stay with us. And some other lines are open here as well to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. Todd Nettleton with us from Voice of the Martyrs. Their website, persecution.com. persecution.com. You can click on the Day of the Christian Martyr for more information. And we'll be back in just a minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. On June 27th, there was breaking news that the United States military had struck an Iranian militant group that were running drone programs right there on the border of Iraq and Syria. Those that are Bible prophecy students will immediately recognize the significance of that report. Think about it. Syria and Iran. Iran, Russia, Turkey, right there in Syria. I saw a picture recently where the president of Iran, the president of Russia, and the president of Turkey were all in a group picture with their hands clasped together. They're in military alliance. This has not been the case, except for a very short period of time. And the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 38, these groups, along with others, will make up a coalition that comes against Israel, and God will protect them. Bible prophecy is being set to be fulfilled.
Todd Nettleton with us today. He's Chief of Media Relations and Message Integration for Voice of the Martyrs, and we're talking about the Day of the Christian Martyr. Indeed, counting the cost. We're going right back to the phone lines. Ralph in Menno, South Dakota, thank you for your patience. You're on the air.
Yeah. I was going to comment on a book I had read. I'm sure Todd is aware of. It's called The Persecutor by Sergei Kurdikov. You know, it takes place in Soviet Russia. It's probably a good 50 years ago now, but I don't know how widely read it's been. I think it's still available, but it is a powerful book that I think every professing Christian should read.
Thank you for that, Ralph. And I don't know if you're familiar, Todd, but I know you've got books on your site, too, like of Richard Wurmbrand and both on by way of book form as well as film as well.
And Ralph, I'll tell you, that was the very first book I read about persecuted Christians. Way back, I think I was only 12 or 13 or 14 years old when I read it, but I remember it. I remember the power of his story. And, you know, his is a story of the persecutor coming to Christ. We sometimes call them Saul to Paul stories here at Voice of the Martyrs. He was a persecutor who became a follower of Christ, and that book impacted me as well, Ralph.
Thank you, Ralph, for the call. Let's go to Jim next in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jim.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for this program. Regarding Voice of the Martyrs, I used to receive their magazine, but any ministry that I, you know, a part of, I want to give, but I want to know where my money's going. So I was just wondering if there's any way to know when we give, would there be like a family or somebody that we could know that, hey, this is going to help this family, or is the money going to help publish a magazine or what? So
okay.
Can you kind of elaborate on that?
Okay, so Todd, when somebody says, I'm going to give a donation to get this book when faith is forbidden or making a donation, how is that money utilized?
Well, you can designate, if you want your gift to go to a specific country, you can say, hey, I want this for China, I want this for Nigeria. You can also designate it to Bibles. If you just want 100% of it to go to Bibles, you can do that. I don't have the percentages right in front of me. If you would call the office, they can actually tell you down to a penny the percentage that goes to international ministry, the percentage that goes to U.S. ministry. But if you say this is for China or this is for Bibles, then 100% of your gift goes to whatever you designate it to.
Okay. Actually, I'm a Gideon, so I'm involved with getting the Bibles out to the world. So.
Great.
Awesome.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Again, the phone number at Voice of the Martyrs is 800-747-0085. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We're going to Linda in Pennsylvania. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I would like to thank Todd for all the work that he has done for Voice of the Martyrs. I am a longtime supporter. I try to pass on the newsletters and the magazines to everyone I know. I especially love when the time comes for support for the Bibles, although I know you can do that every year, but there is a time usually that, usually I think it was last month, where they did a special about getting Bibles in on DVDs as well, that you can choose how you want to send those Bibles out. The bookmarks that are sent to the supporters so that we can pray for them, and especially the time in seeing these people and all the hardships that they go through. I don't think Americans are prepared, and my prayer is that if or when persecution comes in the way that they've experienced it, that the Lord will sustain us and give us what we need when we need it.
Amen.
So just thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate the call. An encouraging call here, Todd. And I know there's been reference even to the magazine being kept informed. People can also get your magazine complimentary as well.
The magazine is free. It's right at the top of the page at persecution.com. Thank you, Linda. Let me encourage you, and let me encourage American Christians. I'll never forget a conversation I had with a young lady in China who was hosting a house church meeting in her apartment. And I asked her in the course of our conversation, "Are you afraid? You know, you could get arrested for this." And she said, "Yes, I'm afraid." And my ears kind of perked up because that was not a response that I got very often. And so we had more of a conversation about her fear. And as we left, her pastor, who had taken me to meet with her, said, "You know, she's afraid because she's never been arrested before." He said, "After you get arrested and after you see that God can work even in a prison cell, God can protect you even in a police station," he said, "after you experience that, you're not afraid anymore because you have seen God work." And so he said, "She's only afraid because she's never been arrested before." I take great comfort in that as someone who's never been arrested. Yes, I'm afraid, but I know God could work in that situation. And that Chinese pastor says, "Hey, after it happens to you once, you know you don't have to be afraid because God is with you."
My. Todd Nettleton with us here today, and we've run out of time for calls. Todd, we've got about 90 seconds left, and we've talked a lot about persecution today, the day of the Christian martyr, counting the cost. How should all that's happening in this world today as it relates to persecution in all these many nations, how should that impact me?
You know, I hope the number one impact is that we commit to pray for our brothers and sisters who are facing persecution, that we commit that, hey, this is our family. The first thing they ask us to do is to pray for them. And so I encourage people, commit to pray for persecuted Christians. Then the natural response is, well, how do I pray? Well, educate yourself so that you can pray more effectively, so that you know people, you know names and faces like Pastor Wang Yi serving 9 years in prison in China. You can identify countries, and you're praying for specific needs. And then after you're committed to pray and after you're educating yourself to pray more effectively, I believe God will open some specific doors for you to be involved. And maybe it's donating Bibles, maybe it's writing letters to Christians in prison, maybe it's getting on an airplane and going to one of these countries. But it starts with our commitment to pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering for the name of Christ.
And one of the ways they can learn how to pray is through information that's provided them from VOM. And folks, the website persecution.com, you can also reach them at 800-747-0085. And even the stories that are given when faith is forbidden would be a powerful influencer as well. Todd, thank you so much for opening our eyes to the persecution and matters happening around the world.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
Todd Nettleton with us today from Voice of the Martyrs. And friend, just take time today. Just even now, just give a sentence prayer. Lord, would you remind me, even in my spirit, to remember to be praying for the persecuted church, my brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless you, folks. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.